pastor says it's time.
Amen. We are in a tremendous series here. And let me thank Moses again for being so willing, amen, to be used of the Lord, to serve his Lord and feeding his people. And so, brother, take the time you need, but give what God's given to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor. I'll try to be brief. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we once again thank you that we have the opportunity to share together from your word. Lord, we invite the Holy Spirit who authored the word to author this word in our hearts and to inspire each one of us, to teach each one of us, and to help us to pick up that which you want us to pick up, O God. And Father, as we take the word, that this word will be mixed with our faith, and that you will help us to accomplish that which you have purposed for us, oh my God, especially given the times that we are going through, Lord, that in the end your name will be honored and your name will be glorified, as we shall be built and edified, oh my God. So, Lord, I pray that as I speak the word, as I break the word, as I bring the word, that, Lord, you will speak through me, that I'll just be an instrument. I'll just be a vessel that you use to bring your word to your people. And that, Lord, even as I speak to the people, that you will speak to me, that together we shall learn and grow. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen. Good afternoon, friends, once again. And I will try to be brief. I know that we have business to do at the end. And it's important that we do all and do it well. We've been walking through the life of Jacob, and remember I said the life of Jacob is one of the longest experiences that anybody can go through. We are basically taking a story of more than 21 years. The 21 years alone is the time he spent in Laban's home, trying to get himself the wives that he wanted, and probably hoping and praying that the wrath of his brother Esau would go down at that stage. But before that, he probably had lived another 20 plus or 30 years. I don't know how long it was. So certainly we are talking about a lot of time here. And we are taking all this time and trying to discuss it in as short a time as we can. But let us see what we can pick up from the life of Jacob. You know, probably not everybody has read the story of Jacob in detail. And probably for some of us, it has been a while since you read that story. And so there may be things that you might have forgotten. So what I decided to do was to create two slides of what I called summary of the life of Jacob. Just to remind us of some of the landmarks, of some of the milestones, of some of the important things in the life of Jacob that eventually bring us to where we are. Number one is that he was born as the younger of two twins, but when he was born, remember, he was born holding his brother's heel. It is not every time that, and if you're a midwife and you're in the labor ward and helping a woman give birth, and you see children coming and the young one is holding the heel of the older, it will certainly wake up something in you, right? I'm sure if it were today, I would have a few professors there to do some scientific analysis and tell us what could have been, you know, the cause. Is it psychological? Is it sociological? Is it mutational? Is it genetic? You know, we would go into all that science. Then, of course, that science did not exist. But we also saw that he deprived his brother of his birthright, and that is what everybody really remembers most about the life of Jacob. Talk about Jacob and everybody will immediately remember the deprivation of his brother's birthright. And then also we saw that he stole his brother's blessing. Now, Papa Sly used the word stole the blessing because he disguised himself to be able to get the blessing. He eventually got it. Now, the interesting thing is that even though he went in those circumstances, he actually got blessed. And Isaac was careful to say to Esau, your brother deceived me and took your blessing. and I've blessed him, and he will be blessed. You know, it's interesting. But then the only explanation we saw is that God says, Jacob, I loved, and Esau, I hated. There are things that only belong to God. He ran up to his uncle Laban's home to hide, but also under the pretext of looking for a wife. And certainly he eventually got married. But Laban shortchanged him 10 times, changed his wages 10 times. Now, he did not change them by way of increments, because if they changed your wages 10 times, because the wages are being increased, that's a different story. But the wages were changed because somebody was trying to play games. You went into an arrangement. You say to the man, I worked for you 7 years and you're going to give me your daughter Rachel in marriage. And you wake up in the morning and you don't have Rachel. And you have Leah. And then you say, okay, I'm going to take all the speckled sheep and goats and animals. And, you know, you are going to take all the single color animals because there are many. And you wake up in the morning and there are no he-goats or rams or, you know, no males that are speckled. Basically, it means somebody is trying to take advantage of you. And this is exactly what Jacob suffered. And given Leah, you know, for a wife, but he expected Rachel. And then, of course, his own expectations were shot down again when he expected Rachel to be the blessed woman. But Rachel did not give birth. And, you know, later it was actually Leah who gave birth. And Leah started mocking Rachel. And then we begin to see the challenges of polygamy. If you haven't grown up in a polygamous family, or if you haven't seen what polygamous families can go through, I promise you it can be a very difficult story. I did not grow up in a polygamous family myself, but I have relatives and neighbors and friends that have had polygamous families and marriages. And if there's anything that can be very difficult, it's polygamous relationships. They may start off well, but as time grows, rivalries, anger. And one of the stories in here that amazes me is the thread one night that the two sisters had to do. And anybody remembers the thread? It was mandrakes. I don't know what mandrakes would be compared to. And today, maybe I could compare them to strawberries. You know, one of Leah's children went out and hunted or looked for wild mandrakes, which I'm comparing to strawberries for the sake of our understanding, because I don't know what mandrakes are. And he got, you know, some mandrakes and brought them home. And Rachel, who could not go out to look for the mandrakes, desired to eat some and said to her sister, can I have some of your mandrakes? And Leah said, my opportunity has come. Isn't it enough that you've taken away my husband? Now, if you want some of my son's mandrakes, promise me that tonight my husband will be mine. And I'll give you some of my son's mandrakes. And she was so hungry, or they must have been so good, she desired them. She says, please give me some. I'll eat, and then you can have, the husband can be yours for tonight on the basis of mandrakes. Now, really, you know, that must have been a very difficult relationship for any man to manage. let's move to the next slide. And again, I'm just trying to really give us a summary so that we can all get to the same page. Eventually, he got 12 sons and very many daughters. Now, we don't know the number of daughters. For some reason, many times the Bible does not talk about girl children in some situations and circumstances and women. The only time we learn about one of the daughters of Jacob is when Tamar is taken advantage of by some men, among whom Jacob had settled with his family. But later on, we see when he leaves to go to Egypt, or when a narrative is given of the people with whom he went to Egypt, it is mentioned that he took his sons, his daughters, and his grandchildren and, you know, granddaughters and grandsons. So which means he must have had daughters. Not many of them are mentioned in the discourse of Scripture. Interestingly, wherever he went, the Bible tells us the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him. Wherever he went, whatever he touched, whatever he did, the Lord blessed him. And I have a quotation there, Genesis 30:30. He fled later on from his uncle, Laban, but his wife stole Laban's goods. And that's where we finished off last Sunday, those of you who were here. You know, when he stole, you know, his wife, Rachel, stole her father's goods and took off with them. And I don't know, you know, if your wife ends up stealing your father's goods. You sometimes don't know what to do, right? Some situations can be very difficult for people. But of course, Jacob, very much like King David, when the prophet Nathan came to him and said, you know, told him the story of this man who had so many animals and so much livestock, but when he got a visitor in the night, he went and took the sheep of the poor man. And King David was quick to say, that man deserves to die. That man deserves to die. He does not deserve to live. How can he do that? And when King Nathan said to him, you are that man, the reality hit home. It was very much similar to what Jacob was going through here. Jacob was quick to say, anybody who is found with your gods does not deserve to live. But then it turned out that the person he was ready to die for is the one that had taken the gods. I can imagine the level of frustration that must have been going on in his life. Anyway, later on, a very interesting thing happens. One of the things that really seemed to disturb Jacob so much was how he was ever going to meet his brother again. And when you read the story, how Jacob took pain and made effort to prepare for his meeting with his brother, it tells you it must have been a very worrisome time for him. Because he took the pains of separating the children and the sheep and the livestock and sending them in groups, keeping the ones he loved behind with him, and sending the ones he loved least. You know, very much like this, like what Pastor was just saying a few minutes ago about the man who will walk through the fire on our behalf. You know, you want to send those that can die and you will not feel the pain. So he prepared. He separated them in three groups, sent one group ahead, told them what to say. But I'm sure in that group he put people whom he believed, you know what, if those die, I will not, things are not well, I can run back and I'll be safe. And let me tell you, friends, if you are going to meet your brother and you are expecting peace and you send an envoy, an emissary, who comes back and tells you he is coming to meet you with 400 fighters. I mean, that must have been the most scary moment for Jacob. Esau is coming. He wants to meet you. But he's not coming alone. He's coming with 400 men, fighters. I can imagine what must have gone on in the life of Jacob. First of all, he knew, even if I try, there is no way with my family and with the few servants and men I have, there is no way we are going to wade off 400. Are there moments in life when we are forced with situations we believe are impossible? And it just looks insurmountable. It looks something you just can't even move. You can't even think about it. Every time you think about it, it is so tough. It is so difficult. And you try in your own little wisdom. And I do. And I do. And I struggle a lot. On my knees, I say, Father, I have left it to you, Lord, now. I surrender it to you, Lord. And I say, hallelujah, amen, in Jesus' name. And as soon as I walk through the door, it is back in my mind. And I'm saying, but this thing, I left it at the cross. Why is it back here? And it nags you. It may be a thought. And one of the most difficult things to deal with is a nagging thought in your mind. Forget about a physical situation. Forget about a financial situation. Forget. But a nagging situation in your mind, it is so close. It is so present. Sometimes you wake up in your sleep. And as soon as you wake up, it is saying, good morning, brother. I'm still here with you. And I think that's the challenge that our friend, our patriarch, our elder, Jacob, experienced. Something very interesting happens. And let's read that part. Let's read Genesis chapter 32 from verse 22 to the end. Pastor Bart, again, if you can help me with the reading. Genesis 32 to the end. Let's just read that. It's good. It's always good to read scripture.
Amen. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank.
Just from this portion of scripture alone, we can spend a whole week discussing and trying to understand. But I'm going to glide over it. Jacob has done what he could as a man. And we all here try. When the finances are not adding up, you sit and you plan. When the situation is not adding up, you sit and you plan. And you craft out what you think is the best. And then you commission it. And what does the Bible tell us? Planning is for man. But fulfillment belongs to God. What Jacob was looking at is not what God was looking at. Jacob was more concerned and more worried about how he'll meet his brother. The Lord was more concerned and wanted to make sure it was not the same Jacob that went back. Jacob left his home a supplanter, an usurper. You can call him a thief. He had taken his brother's birthright and he had taken his brother's blessing. So he left his home a failure. He left his home a defeated man. He left his home a con man. He left his home a man with challenges. And he's coming back, and there's no transformation. The only thing that has happened is that he has grown older. But he's the same person coming back. And the Lord is interested in creating an inner change in the man, The man is worried about external things. How many times do we worry about external things? When the Lord is doing something internal through those circumstances that we may be going through. It may be so tough around me, but the Lord is doing something internally. I may not see it, you may not see it, but the Lord is doing something internally. Unfortunately, I'm more concerned about the external. What will people think about me? What will they say about me? What will people think about? What are people saying about me? But the Lord is up to something different. And you know, the Lord has a sense of humor. He's caring. When you read most of the prophets of old, there's a phrase that you almost find in every book. The Lord is slow to anger. Always abounding in love. Read most of the prophets, and that statement will surely show up. The Lord is slow to anger. I'm sure if he lived here walking with us today, very many people would be shocked. Because today's world wants to judge you instantly. You are a failure instantly. Everything is microwave, right? In 1 minute, you're on YouTube, you're on the internet. The whole world knows you are a failure. You have no place to hide. And the Lord is slowly but surely separating Jacob from everybody else so that he can deal with him alone. Sometimes it's good to hide in the crowd. It is safe in the crowd. It is safe in the family. It is safe with everybody else around me. It is safe. Sometimes I will not worry about certain things because I know somebody else is worrying about them. There are things that very many of us here do not worry about because we know Pastor Pat is worrying about them. So we can comfortably go to bed. I'm not the pastor. Let the pastor worry about it. And the Lord drives Jacob and brings him to that moment when he's all by himself. And the Lord says, now I need to deal with the man inside. Not the man outside. I want to deal with the man inside of you. And Jacob says, you are not going to deal with the man inside. The man inside is strong. The man inside is powerful. I'm going to show you what I'm made of, man. Lord, you dare me? Let's try. And they start. Now, if you're going to fight the Lord the whole night, you must be a strong man. Friends, Jacob must have been a strong man. I mean, the man had skills and talent. And he fights the Lord the whole night. They're fighting the whole night. I mean, these guys who do boxing, 3 minutes, they do it, what? Every 3 minutes they rest, and they go how many rounds? About, in the past they used to go 18, 15. Now I think they do 10 or 12 at most. And by the time they finish, hell, they're all finished, right? But my brother, a whole night. I can't. When I go and I try to do any work in the gym, you know, running around. If I go a full lap around the field, hallelujah. But a whole night of fighting. You're not fighting man, you're fighting the Lord, an angel of the Lord, the Lord. But he fights on. The Bible is very interesting. When the man fighting Jacob, he realizes he can't win. He says, you know what, I'm going to deal with that. Which makes you proud. It's your legs that you think are swift, right? So you think because you have swift legs, you can jump away when I try to grip you. And he touches him in the loin. Are there situations when the Lord touches something? And you say, Lord, no, you shouldn't have touched that, Lord. That's my life. That's what drives. It may be your job. Ezekiel said, the thing I feared most happened to me. Job said, the thing I feared most has come upon me. There's something you may have put your confidence in when the Lord touches it. Oh, no, Lord. Oh, Lord, now I humble myself. Here I am, Lord, use me. And that's exactly what happened to our patriarch Jacob. At that moment, he cannot fight anymore. The leg is gone. He can't stand. Have you tried standing on one leg? I was watching a program on CNN the other day, a team that is trying to manufacture limbs for some people that have lost limbs. And they were showing this person trying to walk on two prosthetic limbs. And what hit me was how we take for granted our feet. The balance of your feet, the fact that the whole of you can be balanced on those two feet. That you can stand on 2 feet. And sometimes you don't even think about it. And so Jacob is on one leg. He's finished. And now he's going to fight his brother. The leg. I think he had said, now I can run away. Now if the leg is gone, how will I run away from Esau, who has 400 men coming, and I have no leg? But don't we all know that after an encounter with the Lord, anything can come? After an encounter with the Lord, whatever comes, let it come. I have encountered the most important, and I'm ready. We win our battles on our knees as we wrestle with the Lord. In prayer, in fasting, in looking after, in looking for the grace of God, praying for the mercy and intervention of God in our lives and the favor of God upon our lives. And once you have overcome with the Lord, it doesn't matter whether the things around you look normal or not. That's why Paul says, you are not just a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror, because he conquered on your behalf. Jacob wrestles with the Lord. His leg is gone. But he has one more thing. Oh. Hey, Jacob, you can't finish him. If you thought he was over with Jacob, it is not over with Jacob. He says the leg is gone, but the hands are there. He holds him. You are not going to leave me. You are not going to go until you bless me. Hallelujah. And the man says, what is your identity? The greatest identity we carry is the name. Who are you? What do people call you? What defines you? And Jacob says, I am Jacob, which means usurper, supplanter. And the man says, from today, you will not be called Jacob. You will not be called a thief. You will not be called a failure. You will not be called a prostitute. You will not be called confused. You will not be called the weakest. You will not be called useless. Your name will become Israel, which means he wrestled with God. He wrestled with God. Man, if today you knew me as a thief and tomorrow you knew me as a man who wrestles with God, you're going to look at me differently. The man wrestles with God. If the man introduces himself, say, "What's your name?" "I'm the one who wrestles with God." You're going to think twice before you attack him. So I'm sure when Esau heard the news that the man who is coming is not Jacob, the man who is coming is the one who wrestles with God, Esau must have said, "I dare not touch him." The situation changed. Ah, Lord, bless me. Bless me, Lord, bless me. Don't leave me until you have blessed me. Friends, brethren, there are nights when we just need to wrestle with God. I don't know what it is you're crying upon or waiting upon or praying about, but there are times. Hezekiah went into the temple and took hold of the horn, said, "Lord, I'm not living here until you've blessed me. Lord, bless me. I'm not living here, Lord, until you've blessed me." There will be nights when you almost go the whole night. The body is weak. But still you are able to say something. You're holding on to the Lord. Jacob is no longer Jacob. He's no longer the thief. He's no longer the usurper. He's no longer the supplanter. He's no longer the defeated man. He's no longer the cheated man. He is now the man who wrestles with God. I believe this is a good place for us to just bring this message to an end, and then we'll look at a few things later. But let's just reflect for some time. What is it that is worrying you most? Each one of us, there may be things from our past. Jacob had something from his past that was breaking him down, that was disturbing him. Each one of us, there may be something from our past. It may be something we did. It may be something we didn't do. It may be something somebody did on our behalf. The covenants that were made. Maybe something that haunts you, that disturbs you, that has refused to go away. Maybe something that has just refused to go away. You've prayed, they've prayed for you. You've fasted, you've looked to the Lord. This is the time for you to just hand it to the Lord. Say, "Father, take it. Take it, Lord. Take it. Take it. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change my identity." And if only God can change our identity. There is power in identity. And today, the Bible says we have a man, an advocate, a man, Jesus Christ. A story is told of a young man who used to be a thief. He stole and stole, but he had a very good lawyer. Very good lawyer. He went to the lawyer, and the lawyer said to him, "I am going to defend you. Tell me the truth. Did you do it?" And the boy would say, "I did it." "How did you do it?" And he would describe how he did it. And the lawyer would go to court and find the language and find the words and find the technicalities to defend the young man. And the young man would walk away free. Ha! And he would go back and do exactly the same, and he came back. And the lawyer would say, "Tell me the truth," and he would tell him. And he defended him and he set him free. One day the young man came. His lawyer was not there. they took him to court.
Ah!
His lawyer was sitting there in the feet of the judge. So he was so excited. He said, as usual. And the judge asked him, did you do it? And he thinks it is as usual. He says, I did it. Tell me the truth. Tell me the story. And he told the truth. And he told the story. And the judge said to him, I am no longer an advocate. I am the judge. On the basis of your own testimony, I sentence you. Friends, we have an advocate. Let's go to the advocate. Before he becomes the judge, he's our advocate. He'll stand up for us before he becomes the judge. I want us to spend some time in prayer. Wrestling with God. What is it that we would like to bring to the Lord? Can we wrestle with God? Can we bring it to the Lord? And like Jacob, Father, change the situation. And when the Lord does, the fear for Esau or the fear of Esau will go away. And it will no longer be our own effort, but the work of the Lord. Let me go to my next slide and I finish, and then we spend some time in prayer. And I have said a few lessons from the life of Jacob, and we'll not finish all of them. But I want to share this one slide. And God willing, the next time we meet, we will continue. What are some of the things we learn from the life of Jacob and from these stories and experiences of Jacob? Number one and the most important of all the lessons that I personally picked up, and I believe each one of us would be interested to pick up, is the sovereignty of God. You know, friends, sometimes it is so difficult to believe God is in charge. It is so difficult to believe God is in charge of the situation. There are times when you say, yes, Lord, I hear, but you're taking too long. I can't see a change. Lord, I'm giving you until tomorrow. If by tomorrow it hasn't changed, I'm dealing with it, Lord. You're not enough. Anybody been there? I have. Say, Lord, this one I can do it better than you. Many situations where you think, I think here there is no God. God here? In this situation, God is not anywhere here. It could be your husband. Been praying, Lord, change my husband. And he's not changing. Could be your wife. As soon as you speak, she reminds you that I'm still the same, and you're saying, Lord, I felt. It may be a situation in you. Maybe a body situation, physical, social. Paul says, 3 times I went to the Lord asking him to remove the thorn from my flesh, whatever that thorn was. And many Christians, many academicians, many theologians have tried to speculate what that thorn must have been. Some think Paul had tearing eyes. They were tearing all the time. And sometimes he could not look at people. He had to hide. And that's why they said your letters are stronger than your own voice. When he was there, he could hardly speak to people that way. And some people think it was those tearing eyes that Paul was crying to the Lord and saying, Lord, heal me. As some authors have said maybe it was to do with his marriage. Faith. Peter and all the others have the right to take a Christian wife. Don't I have the right also to do the same? And so people struggle to say, what was it? But friends, whatever it was, each one of us, you have a thought of your own, right? And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. But there are times when this grace, Lord, where is this grace? Anybody ask such questions? Lord, where is this grace? And why is it taking so long? God has a sense of humor. The other day we were discussing with my wife, and we were talking about Elijah. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets ever lived. Man who just prayed and fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Now, anybody here? So that must be a great prophet, right? At his word, 3.5 years, there was no rain. At his word, the rain came. At his word, 450 prophets of Baal were slaughtered. And one woman called Jezebel saying, so be it done unto me, if by this time tomorrow your head is still sitting on your neck. And Elijah took off. And he went and he hid by a small river. The Bible actually calls it a brook. Probably it wasn't even a river. It might have been have some little, you know, stream, you know, flowing, maybe not too far away. And he said, I'm comfortable here, right? I'm safe. And the ravens brought him food. Hallelujah. It's okay. It's water. The ravens are bringing the food. But the brook dried up. It dried up. Are there things that have dried up in your life? Dried up around you. Sometimes people will tell you, oh yeah, Lord, I have faith, because they know there is a bank account that still has a balance. So, Lord, I have faith, because they know there is a check coming at the end of 2 weeks or 1 month. Sometimes to have faith when there is no check coming and you don't know. You check the mail and people seem to have forgotten about you. All you get is coupons from Walmart and Costco and everybody. The sovereignty of God can be very difficult to believe. Let's go to the next lesson. Some things we shall never understand. We just have to accept them. Are there things that you can't understand? There's so many things I can't understand. You say, but Lord, why do you allow this? Why do the righteous suffer? Why do Christians who cry upon the Lord go without food? Non-Christians who don't even know about God, they don't even care. They walk on food. Why do the righteous suffer? There is a brother, very dear brother. He has preached this whole world. And he prays over people. Miracles happen and people are healed. His own daughter is bedridden. It's crippled. How do you explain certain things? What is happening? What I don't understand. So Jacob is going back home. He needs his whole leg. Now the leg has been And he has a long journey to walk with a broken leg. Why? There are things, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, some things are for God. But what has been revealed is for us and for our children. Join me together and come, let's pray. And we are going to stop here for today. God willing, we'll be continuing from here the next time we meet as we reflect on some of the lessons in the life of Jacob. But I just want us to pray. Wrestle with God a little bit. There are situations that we are dealing with, and sometimes we talk about them like they are normal things or they are simple things. But certainly things are happening around us that call for wrestling with the grace of God. The economic challenges, each one of us is looking at Capitol Hill to fix it, right? And the Fed, isn't it? And today is Greece, tomorrow it is some other country. But these things are happening around us. Can we bring them to God? Can we wrestle with God over these things? The conversation about same-sex marriage and everything just sounds like just a political discussion out there. Can we bring it to the Lord? Can we wrestle with it? Children are becoming rebellious. Can we wrestle with God? Can we bring it to the Lord? What else do we need to bring to the Lord? This is what we are going to do. We're just going to hold hands and we are going to pray. I'm going to change our style of prayer a little bit. Amen? So, God, you bring us into religion. Come around, let's pray. And each one of us is going to pray. But we are going to go around the circle and everybody will have 1 minute. And speak that which you want to bring to the Lord on our behalf. 1 minute. Okay? Don't give a sermon. I've already done that. Hallelujah. Just lift that to the Lord. Whatever it is on your heart that you want to give to the Lord. And when we live here, each one of us will take some of those things and continue with them in prayer and offering them to the Lord together as a group. And we know you're with us, Brad. Amen? Amen. We appreciate that. May God bless you, and we are together in the Spirit. And you're going to pray with us too.